Test, test. Hey, guys. Don't be shy. This is a very, very informal session. So please come in, find a seat. Make sure you grab my handout. It has literally your tips and tricks for the next coming weeks or so. But I usually conduct this session in the expo hall. So this is really weird for me to be up on this podium thing. But I still want to conduct it the same exact way. I use the Kanye West approach, meaning that I love interruptions. They are awesome. Please interrupt me at any point. If I show something here, if you need me to reshow it, if you have a question, I have a mic here, but I mean, we're all friends at this point. You might as well just yell it or come up and ask it at the mic, or I can run a mic over to you. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Hey, hi, everyone. I'm Amanda. I travel with this conference. I actually do all of their conferences for women. I speak at the Watermark Conference, but also the Massachusetts Conference for Women, the Philadelphia Conference for Women, and the Texas Conference for Women. I work full-time for a company right up the road, TIBCO Software. It's kind of cool when I speak at a conference out here that you guys might actually know the company that I work for. We're B2B. And I run customer marketing by day. My side hustle is exactly this, speaking at conferences, at other corporations, helping teach their employees how to leverage the power of social media for personal branding. I speak on pretty much every social subject imaginable: social selling, Instagram, how to become an influencer, how to leverage nano or micro influencers, Twitter, Twitter for business. What I'm saying is, if you have a need for a speaker or just a need to educate yourself on other platforms than we cover today, please leverage my handout. The best way to reach me is via email. I am buried in LinkedIn because that's what I teach on so often. So if you want a direct response, email's the best way to go. The other thing, I geek out about a lot of things, but the one thing I really geek out about is when people live tweet me. So if you find something today that's of value that others who aren't in the session could find value from, please tweet it. Please mention me at Amanda_Healy. But today we're talking about personal branding. So I think a lot of us are familiar with the concept of personal branding, at least at an abstract level. Today we're going to cover, what is it? How can you build one? Why is it important? How can you build one that traverses not only the physical, kind of day-to-day in-person realm, but also the digital realm? Because while we all know that first impressions are incredibly important, we're taught very young to shake with a firm handshake and look the person in the eye and speak clearly, what we're not taught is that our first impressions in 2019 and certainly beyond are going to be a digital first impression, meaning that before I meet you in real life, and I might never meet you in real life, I am going to meet you online. If you send me an email, I'm going to take your name out of your email signature and I'm going to throw it into Google. What is coming up? That is how we're forming a digital first impression. So you're going to get a lot of homework today, but I think it's pretty fun homework. And we're going to chunk it up into pieces as to what you're going to do this weekend or what you're going to do in the coming weeks. Your first piece of homework is to put in your corporate calendar or your Gmail calendar a slot for 20 minutes a day. And you can call this whatever you want: me time, social time, make it private. But I want you to dedicate at least 20 minutes every day, maybe it's just during the work week, to focus on your personal brand. The handout has exactly what to do in 20 minutes a day or less on LinkedIn, but you can choose to use those 20 minutes of time on Instagram, on Facebook, on Snapchat, you name it. Whatever your objective is for that particular channel, use it wisely. But I say to do this because when it pops up on my watch or on my cell phone, that 20-minute slot, it's a reminder to me that no one is going to manage my career and my brand for me, that you have to actively manage it every single day. And just allocating that time to yourself is a way for it to become habitual and just part of your practice. So your other piece of homework is to Google yourself. We just talked about how your first impression is going to be a digital first impression. If you are not controlling the narrative, then who is? When you Google yourself, what is coming up? Is it a dead Twitter account that you started 5 years ago and never touched? Is it an outdated LinkedIn profile? Is it a Facebook set of photos that your friend tagged that people also have access to see? Everything that we do online either adds to our personal brand or detracts from it. And I don't say that to scare you. I actually say it because it's a reality. But the beauty of a digital first impression versus a physical first impression is that we have so much more power to control a digital first impression. We control the image that we put out. We control our profile photos. We control the content and the way that they're written and the value that they add. So even if today you don't think that you have a personal brand, you absolutely do. It's just a matter of who is designing it and who is controlling it. So we're going to get into what is this personal brand concept, why is it important, and then we'll get into some actionable ways to build a personal brand using one of my all-time favorite platforms, LinkedIn. It is so easy to build a very distinguished and memorable brand on this platform. People just aren't using it in the way that it can be used. It's an incredible way to get your name out there, to position yourself as a thought leader, to drive opportunities for yourself. So we'll get into that as we get through this presentation. So first up, kind of already talked about it. Quick intro. I'll let you know kind of other topics and areas that I speak in case that's of interest. We're going to go into personal branding. We're also going to talk about how to leverage LinkedIn to accomplish that. We're going to do a deep dive where I use my own profile, and I'll show you the top five most viewed areas of your profile on LinkedIn and how to optimize them for search engine value. And then we're going to have a Q&A. Again, very informal session. This is the most formal version of it I've ever seen. So I really do encourage you, if you have a question at any point, just raise your hand, shout it out, or grab the mic up here. I also am a huge fan of Bitmoji, and I absolutely own that coat at home. So this is going to carry us through this prezo as well, because I'm not a big fan of presentations. So about me, as I mentioned, work full-time, run customer marketing. This is a side hustle slash passion project. I speak on a lot of different things. Personal branding is definitely the top one, but how to use a personal brand for the company that you work for as well. So whether we realize it or not, our day job, we are the living, walking, breathing entity of whatever that company may be. So I get hired by a lot of corporations to teach their employees how to be ambassadors and how to become thought leaders in their industry. And then just a few things, if you guys want other materials, I have podcasts, webinars, etc. Check it out on my LinkedIn profile, and I'll show you where that lives, because I'll show you how to add your own media to your LinkedIn profile. All right, so personal branding. What the heck is it? We hear a lot about this. It's not a new term. It's been around quite a while. The way I like to think about personal branding is, whether we are comfortable with it or not, we are all a product. We are a product of our experiences. We are a product of our environment. And we each have a unique value, just like any other product. We have a value proposition. And yeah, it's maybe a little bit more readily accessible to me because I'm a marketer to think this way. But once you start realizing that we are a product, the aspect of personal branding becomes that much more intuitive. I always like to think of, if you were on Shark Tank and the product that you were pitching to the sharks was yourself, what would you say? What would that statement be? What would those attributes be that you were changing or shifting the marketplace in? So again, we're going to get into LinkedIn specifically, but I'll use attributes of your profile that you can apply to any social channel or really any kind of aspect of building your brand. So there's a few quotes I really like around personal branding. This one talks about, we're living in a digital age, obviously, and your personal brand is not only what you think it is, it's what others perceive. How you're seen, understood, and evaluated based on, again, that content that you're producing online, that image that you're projecting, the message that you're conveying. I work with a lot of one-on-one kind of executives sort of scenarios where we actually do a personal branding exercise, and we find out what is their brand today. And we conduct a survey, and you all can do this yourselves as well, free Survey Monkey, and have five simple questions. What is the top positive attribute that you think of when you think of me? What is the top negative attribute? What are, you know, if you were to describe me in one sentence, what would you say? Whatever this may be, think of five questions that will really get to the heart of what you're all about. What is my biggest strength? What is my biggest weakness? And as you collect these responses, I would send them to your colleagues, people who work for you, people you work for, your family, your friends, a wide net. Keep it anonymous. And what you might find is that while you think your brand is one thing, it might be drastically different in the marketplace. And sometimes this is a little bit unnerving. I was working with an executive from Walgreens, and she thought that her personal brand was all about passion. And I sensed that from her. As I got to know her, I definitely understood that she had this great passion for what she did and the impact that she was making on the world. But as we conducted the 360-degree survey, we actually found that her personal brand was a bit more of a negative connotation. We found that a lot of people felt that she was oppressive. We found that a lot of people felt that she was a bit hard around the edges. The word passion was not coming out. All of the negative attributes that she probably feared were coming out. And before we went through the survey, again, it's easier said than done. You kind of have to throw your ego to the side. You kind of have to say, okay, these people are giving me feedback because they want me to improve. And so while she was completely devastated by what we were reading, what we found is that at the root of her passion, because she was that passionate about what she was doing, she was treating her employees and her teams as a means of accomplishing that objective versus getting them part of that passion and igniting in them the same thing that she had in herself. She was not showing the positive attribute of that brand. And so what we did is we transitioned it through the content that she produced online, through the way that she interacted with her employees, through the things that she did during her team meetings. So personal branding is about not only your online brand, but it's also about how authentically does it resonate with your in-person brand as well. It's a mix of our actual and it's a mix of our aspirational. It's who we are and who we've come to be, but it's also who we want to work towards. So, another quote on personal branding. We talk about social media. We're becoming a very individualized society, more so than ever before. We each have almost all of these different channels. If we're picturing ourselves almost as a TV network of content, all of a sudden we have our Instagram channel, and we have our Facebook channel, and we have our Twitter channel, and we have different content for each of those, or most of us do. So right here, the brand you build around yourself is the most important way to stand out. Using these channels in a strong and in intuitive way that ties to your brand creates a powerful, resonating, memorable experience for your audiences. I like to think that social media is like peanut butter. If you spread it too thin, it's awful. It's brittle. It loses its taste. But if you concentrate it, it's literally sticky. It's memorable. It keeps you coming back for more. For the average person, you should focus on 2 to 3 social media channels that make the most sense for your objectives. It's kind of marketing 101, but think to yourself, what is my number one objective, and maybe secondary as well, that I'd like to accomplish with social media? Is it driving new business? Is it becoming a thought leader? Is it getting my dream job? From there, who is the audience required to make this objective a reality? From there, where do they live online? Are they mostly on Twitter? Are they mostly on LinkedIn? What types of information do they like to consume? In what format? Videos, images, text? As you start to go down that path, I think you'll naturally narrow yourself to 1 to 3 social networks maximum that you will use for professional means. And it's fine to have, you know, unprofessional social media accounts as well. Maybe get them locked up, but maybe you have a Facebook, maybe you have an Instagram. The channels that you are leveraging for professional success, those are the ones that I want you to actively curate the content and strategy for. So in simple terms, your personal brand is really this Venn diagram of how you see yourself, how others see you. Square in the middle is going to be that sweet spot of the personal brand. Why is this important? We've started talking a little bit about the benefits of a personal brand. Number one, the benefit of any good brand is that it builds trust and credibility. Immediately, by building a social channel that's curated and that in an image that's curated, you are bringing a level of credibility to who you are as a person and a professional. Increase your value. As people visit these channels and they read the content that you're producing, and content could be a tweet, it could be a status update, it could be a section on your LinkedIn profile, all of a sudden you're increasing your value in your marketplace and your industry. I think this one is actually really underrated. As you build a strong brand, it becomes your North Star. And when you have a North Star and you know exactly who you are and who you're perceived to be, you gain a lot of confidence in telling that story, in owning it and honing it. Differentiation, biggest part, finding that unique value proposition and being able to communicate it. I like this one a lot too. I think Serena actually just nailed it. I'm of the same thought. To be multiple personas at once for me is exhaustive. I am the same exact person up here as I am sitting in a chair there, as I am having coffee with you, as I am having a martini with you. It is just way too much work for me to have a professional self and a personal self. With social media, all of a sudden you are giving us a lens into as much personal self as you feel comfortable with. Obviously in a professional way, but now you're so much more memorable to me because you are a person and hopefully one that I'm connecting with. Becoming the go-to resource in your field. I challenged one of the people I was working with to create an about me video on LinkedIn. And she was terrified. She said, Amanda, what person would want to watch a middle-aged woman like me just talk about herself on a video? And I said, you'd be surprised. And so I said, just try it. Let's see. What's the worst that can happen? Your ego gets bruised. It'll be fine. So she goes and films a video. And in fairness, I should have coached her much better on this. She filmed it vertically versus horizontally. But whatever, she did it. The lighting wasn't great. But when she spoke and she told me her story in 20 seconds, it was powerful because immediately she wanted to be a brand marketer. And so she took that concept and she talked about her own brand and how she tells her story and how she loves to tell the stories of other brands. But the way that she was able to connect to her audience, by being on video, you're immediately vulnerable. And we innately connect with vulnerability in other human beings. If someone up here like me, if I colossally screwed up the speech, a part of you would reach out, you know, feel that because we can relate to that. So as she created this video, flash forward to a week later, she got a ton of views on it, comments. She got a job offer out of it. It was pretty crazy. Probably not, you know, always going to happen. But she got so many direct messages because people thought she was a video expert. Like literally did not make any sense at all. They reached out and said, oh my gosh, can you give me some tips? I've been meaning to do something like this. How did you script it out? How did you film it? And she sent the whole screenshot to me. And she's like, this is hilarious. People think I'm a video expert and I made this crappy video that I gotta fix. So you just don't know, you know, what kinds of expertise that people might start reaching out to you for. Maybe you've always wanted to be a guest speaker on a podcast or on a show, or maybe you'd like to be an influencer in a certain industry. When you build a strong brand, you open yourself up to opportunities that maybe you didn't even know you could have. So, final piece, attracting opportunities. I think we've covered that well enough. So this is a great stat that came directly from LinkedIn. 81% of buyers are more likely to engage with a strong professional brand. Buyers for you might mean employers. It might mean partners. It might mean investors. I want you to frame this in the context that makes sense for your objectives. When we get into the LinkedIn deep dive, I'm going to use the word opportunities a lot, but opportunity will mean something different to every person here. Job opportunity, career advancement opportunity within your existing workplace, partnership opportunity, media opportunity, sales opportunity. I teach a whole course on selling with social media. So frame that in the context of what you're trying to accomplish. So how do you do this? So first of all, these are the types of questions. And by the way, my slides will be available through the app if you want them. And you can always reach out over email, but there aren't too many of them. So if you do want these, just reach out to me. What type of content will you be posting? Will it be educational content? Will it be visual content? What will it be about? What value will be driven from that content? I like to use a rule of L's or a rule of E's. You can choose whichever one resonates more with you. Whenever I post something to any social network, I try to aim for one of the following. They either laugh at it, there's an entertainment value component. They love it, meaning they might actually hate it, but it's more of an emotional component, or they learn from it. If you were to translate those into E's, it would be, does it educate, does it elicit emotion, or does it entertain? If you look at some of the most viral of marketing campaigns and just viral aspects in life in general, they typically hit on all three. An example would be the ice bucket challenge. So we all learned probably a lot more about the disease than many of us knew. We had an innately emotional reaction to the kind of cause. And of course, it was entertaining to watch our friends and family dump ice over their heads. When you apply this to a lot of marketing campaigns, you'll see a trend here. So with everything that you post, just aim for one. If you can hit two, phenomenal. If you can hit three, you will notice a spike in the engagement. When I talk about engagement, I mean likes, I mean comments, I mean retweets, I mean shares. That is the goal. I think a lot of people forget that the first word in social media is social. social. A lot of brands forget it and a lot of people forget it. And they treat social media almost as traditional media. They treat it as a bullhorn. They treat it like me speaking to a large audience, a one-to-many component. I like to think of social media as walkie-talkies, where listening is almost as important, the channels are endless, and it's a back-and-forth dialogue. Nothing breaks my heart more than when I see a person or a company who is just pushing out content and not engaging with people who are commenting on that content, not retweeting or sharing other people's content. Keep the conversation, keep the dialogue. That is the purpose of this. It will drive meaningful relationships and it will drive meaningful opportunities. Next question. What are your values and how do you hope to get them across? I think having an authentic brand starts with understanding what that foundation of who you are is. It's a bit of an introspective exercise, but I think it tends to resonate with people because you'll live, walk, and breathe those values and post in those values as you go through this exercise. Who is your audience? So in marketing, we would call this persona building. Who are you trying to reach? What is their demographic? What types of information do they like? Male, female, age range? Is there a specific type of person that you'd really like to reach? What do you want to achieve? We talked about this in the beginning. What's your objective? Is it money? Is it fame? Is it building something meaningful, volunteer opportunity, etc.? What are you most knowledgeable about? So think, you know, what do people come to you for advice on? You can also frame this as, what would you like to be knowledgeable about? What would you like to be a thought leader in? This is important. What tone of voice do you use? I'm a very colloquial person. When I tweet in a colloquial manner. When I present, same exact thing. But that doesn't work for everyone. I had tweeted something for my day job, and I think I put, like, something to the extent of thank you next in response to a Gartner analyst sort of scenario. And my CMO loved it and he tried to emulate it. But my CMO is a totally different person and persona than I am. So it's not authentic for him to include that or who dis or something like that. Speak in a way that is evocative of what your brand is all about. If you're a very technical person, don't hide that. That's an incredible way to showcase your knowledge. If you're, you know, a person very in tune with pop culture, leverage that as well. You will reach that particular audience if they are speaking the same vernacular as you are. How will you communicate your message? What are the channels you're going to use? And what is the type of media you are going to use? Who are you? Who's your position? What is your position in the industry? What would you like your position to be in the industry or in a different industry? So now I want to talk about LinkedIn. This truly is, even I wouldn't say it's my favorite channel. I get that all the time. You know, LinkedIn must be your favorite social media channel. Instagram is actually my favorite social media channel. But when it comes to personal branding, there is absolutely nothing more powerful than LinkedIn out there. And the beauty of this is that it is so untapped. I have worked with interns and high school students all the way up to Fortune 500 CEOs. And I still see consistently the same exact template used on LinkedIn. I've reviewed so many profiles and they all look exactly the same. It is so easy to stand out on this platform just by doing some of the things that we're going to talk to today. And what's great about that is you will be so memorable. I can easily reference any person that I've worked on that's had a standout profile because they become more than a profile. They become a human being that's adding value in some sort of capacity to our relationship. All right, so if you've attended my session before, as I mentioned, I speak at this conference every year, typically in the expo hall. The number one pet peeve I have is that most people think of LinkedIn as their online resume. They take their physical resume, their Word document, their PDF, and they upload it to LinkedIn, and they give themselves a pat on the back, and they don't touch it for like at least a year. And this is a shame. I mean, this is the way to be basic on LinkedIn. This is how to be exactly like all of those other profiles. When you treat LinkedIn as an online resume, you are leaving so much on the table. This is a platform. This is your personal website that you didn't even have to pay for. If you are treating this correctly, LinkedIn can be an inbound mechanism for driving opportunities. It's a place to not only tell me what you do, which is what your CV will do, but instead go beyond that. Be a little bit extra. Tell me why you do it, and then show me how you do it. And we'll get into that. We talked about productizing your LinkedIn. Again, as I reference different pieces of your profile, I will tie that back into if you were a product, what would that be? So now we've have a new rollout of LinkedIn. I'll also cover off of on some of the updates to the platform. Most of you are probably familiar with them if you've been in there in the last probably about year or so. And then we'll also talk about content strategy, which again can be applied to any social channel regardless, but we will focus specifically on LinkedIn for this. All right, so I'm going to turn it over into a mirroring situation, and I'm going to use my own profile as an example. And a lot of the things that we cover today, you can do on your mobile phone. I will always tell you when you cannot do it on mobile and then when you'll need to do it on your desktop. So let me see if I can zoom in. Actually, yeah, that's pretty good. All right, cool. So very first thing in your next piece of homework, coincidentally enough, is what I would like you to do, ideally this weekend, but maybe next week if, you know, you've got plans, is to get yourself a cover photo that is not a constellation blue banner. There are so many people in this room right now that have a constellation blue banner, and that is adding zero, nothing, nada to your personal brand, nothing at all. In fact, when I go to your profile and you have a constellation blue banner, I'm like, ugh, they definitely have not taken any LinkedIn training whatsoever, because this is a missed opportunity to brand yourself in a visual way. So at very minimum, I've already done it for you. Just go ahead and typed in LinkedIn cover photo on Google. And this is like the Pinterest of cover photos. This is a great place to get ideas. And as you can see, a lot of them are overhead desk shots. There's some cityscapes. There's just some plain colors. I don't care if you just put polka dots for now. Have a placeholder. Because first of all, this used to be a premium feature. Most people will assume you have a premium profile when they visit your profile and you have a custom cover photo. And that's good too. Again, bringing credibility. But second off, after you have kind of a placeholder in there, think to yourself, what is a visual element of who I am and my brand that I can bring into my profile? Even if you want to emulate some of these, you could, there's a lot that are free for use. That's fine too. I would actually challenge you, instead of having this, you know, stock photo of someone's desk, why not just take a picture of your own desk? Yeah, maybe you'll have to bring in some aesthetics and make it a little bit more interesting than usual, but that's cool. That's your own desk. When I was first kind of teaching on LinkedIn, I had a picture of the Boston skyline. I'm from Boston. I live in Boston. That's my heart and home. And every time I traveled, I could say, that's a picture that I took of my city. That's part of my brand. And it was good, but it wasn't great. So over time, I evolved it. And instead, and I'm actually going to go to my Twitter because it will probably be a bit bigger in this photo. Awesome. So over time, I evolved it to be this. I think this was at the Texas Conference for Women, but this is my personal brand in a nutshell. My personal brand is about storytelling. In my day job, I help tell the story of TIBCO Software and how our solutions help our customers. And in my side hustle, I help people like you find and develop and hone your story and tell them on digital platforms. So this photo is incredibly more powerful than a blue constellation photo, but it's also more powerful even than a cityscape. So you might be asking yourself, well, that's well and good, but I'm not a speaker. I don't have a photo like that. Many of us work for a company that has a marketing department, even if it's just a person of one, and they likely have some sort of image that you could leverage here. I was working with an HR exec, and we ended up with a great photo of her team in the background during their team outing, and it brought this human element to her profile, but it also brought a human element to the brand that she worked for full time, and then she brought that to life for me in her summary, and maybe I'll get into her as an example, because she's a great one of really taking a role that people have a lot of preconceptions about HR and making it so much more moving and impactful and telling us why she is so into what she does every day. So anyways, I've seen some good ones. I've seen photographers use their work up there. I've seen authors put their book and then like a quote over there. I've seen some really great ones where I've worked with sales leaders, and there was this one sales leader I was working with who was really into road cycling. And you could tell every time he talked about it, he got so excited. He was really talented at it too. And he had this great photo of him cycling from afar, and we put that as his cover photo, but then we wove in that as a thematic element into his summary. We talked about why he loves cycling, how he views the long game, you know, the endurance, and we tied it into his sales profession. And we were able to bring that into life in a much more powerful and personal way just by using something that was innately tied to who he was. So anyways, initial part of homework, get a cover photo that will do for now. and over time evolve that. If we are thinking of ourselves as products, that is your cover, your product wrapper. It is the first thing that someone will see when they come to your profile, and it is the first thing that they will form an opinion about, positive or negative. Again, as an aside, never use pixelated or low quality images. If you don't think that you have a great eye and maybe I have bad eyesight, for example, test it out on a friend and just say, hey, does this look pixely to you? It's death for your brand to have anything that doesn't look professional quality. Also, check out how it looks on your phone, because it might display differently on your phone as it does on your computer. And the final thing on cover photo, you cannot edit it on your phone. You actually have to do it on your computer. So I would say try for that this week or next week. And when you do it, maybe that's your whole goal for next week. Maybe that's your one goal for this, for the following week. Reward yourself. You know, go and get a fancy coffee. Go and schedule a yoga class, whatever it may be. Make this work for you, and don't try to do all of the changes we're going to talk about. Don't try to do it all in once. You will never do it. It'll become this mountain that you cannot climb. Chunk it up into little bite-sized pieces, and it should just always be evolving. I mean, I'm in the process of rewriting my summary now. I redid a part of my my profile while I was on the plane here. It should just be an iterative process, because we as humans are always changing, always evolving. Your career is always changing, and this should be a reflection of that. So LinkedIn does a study every year, and they put on retina tracking goggles, and they watch in a controlled environment, where do people look on profiles? Where do they look first through fifth? How much time do they spend on certain areas of your profile? The number one most viewed area of your profile, and also the most amount of time spent on your profile, get ready, it's creepy, is your profile photo. So first of all, if you do not have a profile photo, you need to go get one ASAP. I mean, like, leave this room, go outside and take a selfie. I don't even care how it looks, just have one, because 80% of LinkedIn users are going to reject your invitation if you do not have a photo. And I don't blame them. There's a lot of people out there trying to steal your information. I wouldn't trust someone without a photo. But what we found, I was recently doing a corporate workshop for Walgreens, actually, and we did a bunch of smaller sessions, and in one, we pulled up employees' profiles, and we edited them in real time. And of course, everyone in the audience said, of course, I have a profile picture, I would never have one. But as we pulled up their profile picture was not displaying, because they had not realized they had set it to be viewable only by their connections. And a lot of, I'm not even joking, about 70% of the people we pulled up, that was the case. So I'm going to show you this now. I would prefer for you to take care of this weekend or next week, a more of an urgent item, because if your profile photo is not displaying, you should definitely know about it. Here is how to do it. You have to do it on your laptop, not on your phone. So while you're in your profile, on the top right up here, edit public profile and URL. And what's great about this is that all of a sudden you can see, what does your profile look like to someone who has never connected with you? And you'll notice it's a shame right now. LinkedIn is not displaying your cover photo unless you're connected with that person. It wasn't always the case. They've recently changed that. I have a feeling it will go back so that they can see your cover photo, but we'll see. But anyways, here is where you find out if your profile picture is set to public or not. On the side here, your profile's public visibility. Up here, you'll see your name and your basic info, but right underneath, under profile photo, those Walgreens employees had it set to either their connections or their network. Most of you would say, okay, I'm going to show it to all LinkedIn members. I strongly, strongly encourage you to put public, because when you put public, your profile photo will now come up in actual searches as well, Google searches. Why is this important? Because you're controlling the imagery associated with your name and with your personal brand. So try to do this weekend. Just do it for my own sake. Make sure it's set to public. Under here, you can choose to make whatever pieces of your public profile private. For me, there's no shame in my game. I don't publish or put anything on LinkedIn that my grandma would be embarrassed of. That's the approach I take. This is a professional channel, so I would really recommend keeping that all open to make it as searchable and findable as possible. And then at the top of this page, here's your other piece of urgent homework. Some of you might have already done this already, and that's awesome. But if you haven't, I need you to customize your URL. You do it by clicking this pencil and then it becomes editable. I need you to put your name here. This will drive up the search engine value of this profile associated to your name, meaning that if I Google for you, it is likely, very likely, that your profile will come up in the organic search results, which means you are controlling the impression and the content that someone is seeing. If your name is not available, you can do an underscore, you can do a dash, you can do a period. Once you have that URL, I want you to put it everywhere. I want it in your email signature, on your business card. I want it in your Twitter bio or any other channel that you use professionally. I want it on your Salesforce profile. Why? Because if we are a product, the goal of any brick and mortar store or online retailer is to drive as much traffic to that property as possible. Because the more traffic we drive, the higher rate of conversion and the more sales we have. For us, the more views that you receive on your profile, the more opportunities will come your way. It is a numbers game just like anything else. So when we promote our URL, our personal website, we make it easy for people to find us and connect with us and read the content that we're sharing and understand our value. So back over to your profile. We started talking about the profile photo. If I am a product, this profile photo is my logo. It is literally the face of my brand. So if you, we talked about not having one, but if you have one that is from a year or 2 years or 10 years ago, it is time to get a new headshot. And I don't say that to disparage you. I say it because this is the catfish effect. Cognitive dissonance, when our expectations and our reality do not align. If I have this image of you based off of your LinkedIn profile, and then I meet you in person and you look nothing like that, whether I realize it or not, all of a sudden a level of subliminal distrust has occurred. And anything you do or say after that will be tainted a bit by this distrust. And we might not even know it or feel it at the time, but what we should strive for is to have an authentic image, and not just in your, you know, your profile picture, but also in the content and the summary. I think there's no better compliment than when I meet someone and maybe they're LinkedIn to me and maybe they've been following me on Twitter and they say, oh, you're exactly how I expected you to be. Whatever that means, good or bad, I'm showing up authentically online. So we need to do the same for our profile picture. And again, if you don't know if yours looks outdated or something else, ask the friend that tells you when you have spinach in your teeth. They will be honest with you. I have seen so many profile photos of you and maybe a family member, but then you cut them out and then there's like half an arm. Don't do that. I've seen pictures of your dog or your baby or your children as your profile picture. Don't do that. This is your profile. And I've seen pictures of, you know, maybe you're holding a glass of wine or drinking a beer. Also not the place. You're probably thinking this is 101, but it's truly not. And because this is one of the most viewed areas, I will harp on it over and over again. When you go to connect with someone, the only thing that they will see is your name, your headline, and your profile photo. How are you going to compel them to connect with you? If you're doing it on your own, again, go outside. Natural lighting is key. Calm background, brick, a wall, whatever, something non-competing. And just take a bunch until you're happy with it. I think this requires us throwing our ego aside and saying, okay, I like this picture. I'm happy with it. And it's authentic to me. I had a woman in a session who came up and she said, I think I have a problem. I think that my profile picture is dissuading people from connecting with me or interacting with me. And I said, okay. And she showed me it, and it was like a Kim K level glamour shot. I mean, it was amazing. She looked beautiful. And I looked at her and I said, this really doesn't look like you. And she said, I know. I was so glammed up. I'm like, do you wear this amount of makeup on regularly? And she's like, I never wear makeup. I'm like, okay. Do you wear this style of clothing? No, I was all dressed up for that. Okay, it's time to scrap it then. And she's like, yeah, I think you're right. Whether we, you know, are realizing it or not, being authentic in everything that we do, I mean, you're probably sick to death of this, but it really is true. When you show up authentically online and offline, people innately connect with that. And then you feel better about it as well. So I'm not saying have a disheveled profile picture. I'm just saying have something that's really truly evocative of who you are and test it out with people if you're not sure of that. So the next most viewed area of your profile is your headline. It's the thing that's right under your name. If you have not changed this, it will default to whatever your current title is. So mine should say Head of Customer Marketing at TIBCO. It does not, because that does not add search engine value to my profile. And quite frankly, that's not who I am. Who I am is a mix of all of the different jobs that I do. And many of you probably do multiple jobs as well. So your next piece of homework is to edit this headline. But it's a little bit more of a longer term homework item. I would actually aim to do this maybe by the end of next week, maybe by the end of the following week. Because what I'd like you to do is to start composing a list of 10 to 15 keywords for your personal brand. For me, it's things like demand generation, marketing, social media. For you, it could be a list of things related to your industry, related to your profession, related to your skill set. If you're having trouble, go to the requirements of your job position. It will say skills required. It will probably have some keywords in there that you'll be able to pull out. There are two tools that I really like that are not on my handout. One of them is BuzzSumo, B-U-Z-Z, sumo as in wrestler. The other is hashtagify.com. That's the word hashtag, I-F-Y.com. What's great about these sites is they show you how different words or keywords trend over time. So while I could have put lead generation, I chose demand generation because I did some research and I found that more people were searching off of that term than off of the alternative. You should do the same as well. And these tools will actually show you related keywords as well. Hashtagify.com. So like the word hashtag and then ify.com. There's plenty of others out there. Those just happen to be two that I tend to enjoy. Sometimes I'll even leverage Twitter in searching on hashtags on Twitter and understanding what's trending. As an example, as I mentioned, I work in tech. Right when cryptocurrency was becoming a big thing, all of a sudden a lot of people in my network added cryptocurrency or even just Bitcoin into their headlines. And it wasn't a bad strategy because they drove up significant viewership of their profile. As long as they were knowledgeable about that topic and had expertise in it, then that's, you know, something that I would encourage. But this is a great way to start to build your keyword list and from there create four variations of your headline. So maybe I would take the social media stuff and pull it to the front, and that would be one variation. Maybe I would swap in a couple of different keywords, and that would be another variation. And then I want you to test these over a series of time, whatever you feel comfortable with. Maybe it's 4 weeks, maybe it's 4 months, maybe it's 4 days, whatever works best for you. Swap in that new headline and say we're doing the week over week method. Look at how do your profile views increase, decrease, remain the same? What types of email is coming in? What kind of engagement is happening on your profile or status updates? And then the following week on the same day, maybe around the same time, just to keep a little bit of control in it, switch in the option number two. And over time, you'll get a sense for what is resonating with my target audience. And it's a super fuzzy logic. I definitely understand that, but it's our best way of getting to the heart of what should I be putting here. I mentioned that when you connect with someone, the only thing that they'll see is your name, profile picture, and headline. How are you going to hook them to click accept or at minimum to go and view your profile? If I was a sales leader and my title was head of North America sales, that is not compelling enough for me to want to click and view more. Instead, if that headline was, I help companies realize the value of AI in their search bars or their search engine, all of a sudden they're getting the SEO value of the term AI, which obviously is super hot right now, as well as search. And I kind of want to know more. How are you leveraging AI on your website within the search, you know, mechanism of it? It's compelling. It's interesting. It's adding potential value to me, even if I'm not their target audience. So use this as a means of kind of hooking that viewer and drawing them into your profile. Next up on your profile, this is going to be your longest homework item. So what I would say here is start thinking about it. You don't need to touch it for a couple weeks. That's okay. Your third most viewed area of your profile is your summary. I talked about how your resume tells me what you do. Your summary is your place to not only say that, but to tell me why you do it. If we were out to a cup of coffee, I have coffee on the brain because I really need one, we would be sitting across from each other. Maybe it's the first time that we're meeting. And I would say, Sue, so tell me about yourself. You would not say, I'm a seasoned veteran professional with 10 years of blah, 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 and list off of your skills. You would tell me a story. You would tell me the story of who you've been in your career and personal life and who you are now and where you're looking to go. There is something so powerful about that narrative. That is what your goal should be for this summary. And obviously, it's a professional channel. We can infuse that personality while still being professional. I talk about how my first gig was at a lemonade stand, and I am the same kid today as I was back then. I bring the same exact qualities, energy, a thirst for knowledge, and an insatiable kind of compellingness to help others, to get it right, to make their day just a little bit better. That's what I'm all about. Those key qualities, those core competencies, and I talk about it in more extensive detail, but those core competencies have guided me through all of the different jobs that I've had since. And again, maybe this is how your survey that we talked about comes in to help. Maybe all of a sudden you have a core competency that you're not even recognizing in yourself, or a strength that you're not recognizing because it's as easy to you as breathing. So that survey will probably help guide this as well. So I used an example earlier about an HR executive, and I love her profile. Hopefully she'll forgive me. I'm going to pull it up, but it's got a lot of great things going for it that I'd like to do her justice and read it out for you. So Shauna works at Talon, which is actually in this area as well. So I talked about how it's a picture of her team at the top. I absolutely love that. And I also like this little plug in her headline, join Team Talent immediately. She's doing what she does best, recruiting. So here's where it gets interesting. I don't know if you can read it, so I'll read it to you. By day, I'm a senior recruiter at Talon's global headquarters, connecting and networking with top talent interested in pursuing their dream job. And she talks about her company. By night, I'm plotting my next trip to Tahoe. Attending college football games, testing out new recipes, etc. Follow both my professional and personal adventures on Twitter and Instagram. And she talks about, as we scroll down, how she's driven by building the talent at Talon one rock star at a time. And when you talk to Shauna, she is exactly that. She's got energy, she's got excitement, and you can tell she absolutely loves what she does. Strive for that. Be authentic. Even if you don't really love your job, there's something that you love about it. There's some aspect that makes it bearable for you to go in there and do it each and every day. This is also a great place if you, again, do multiple jobs, such as myself and such as many, many other people. This is a great way to weave that narrative of who you are in the side hustle and who you are in the day hustle and what is the central tie-in. Again, for me, it's storytelling, but for others, it might be a little bit more difficult to find that common thread, which is why I start by saying, start thinking about it now. It'll come to you. You'll be out for a run or in the shower or falling asleep and you'll say, okay, that's it. That's the tie-in there. I was just talking with one of the people that was helping me set up for a previous session, and we looked at her profile, and she had attended my session. She said, oh, I'm a long distance runner. And somehow I'd like to really incorporate that into my profile because it's a big part of who I am. And it's kind of some of those core attributes that I bring into running have really allowed me to be better in my career. And so we started framing it as, okay, how do we talk about, you know, the endurance of one's career? How do we talk about viewing your career as a marathon versus a sprint? There are ways to, and yeah, this is just off the cuff, probably a little bit cheesy, but over time we can evolve this to be something that's true to who she is outside of work as well as who she is inside of work. And then I also talked about bringing it to life for me. One of the powerful aspects of LinkedIn is it really is a multimedia platform. So if someone is considering bringing me in to speak at a conference or speak at their company, instead of them reading, you know, what I speak on and maybe some accolades or whatnot, instead they can just go view a video reel. They can listen to a podcast, watch a webinar, get a sense for it. It is so much more powerful to communicate in a visual storytelling way. So if I'm a salesperson, I'm going to go to marketing and say, okay, what do you got for me for short, snappy videos that I can include on my LinkedIn? Maybe it's a whiteboard video of how, TIBCO solves complex integration problems, both on-prem and in the cloud. Great, put it there. And then reference it in your summary as well. You know, for a quick overview of how we X, Y, and Z, check out the video below. That's the other piece. I would always recommend having a CTA or a call to action in your summary. So at the very end, whether it's what action do you want the person to take? Do you want them to email you? Do you want them to follow you? Do you want to drive them to your website so that they can learn more about a certain product or offering? Always have a clear call to action. This is a vehicle of marketing for you as a business and for you as a brand. The other piece too, whatever those keywords are that you're including in your headline, be sure to sprinkle those out throughout your summary as well. The more times you use the same exact term in your profile, the higher you will rank for that term. So I'm sure to include social media in my summary, to include demand generation. Make sure you're including those so you drive up that value. Now, to add media is super simple. You can add video, you can add websites, URLs, you can add SlideShare presentations. What I will say is anything that you add, please be sure you're either watermarking it or PDFing it. I've had my own work stolen off of LinkedIn. I know others that this has happened to as well. Just safeguard your work. And if it's not publicly available, then do not, or you're questioning if it is, do not include it. This is a public channel. Anyone can access it. But what I would say to you is if you are a small business owner or any business owner, you can link to your website and that will immediately have a rich media component. Go to your marketing department and ask for materials there. If you're a blogger, you can use this as a means of driving traffic to your blog. You can use it as a means of driving traffic to a presentation, a white paper, an ebook. There is always some sort of media that is available to us. As a society, we're no longer reading all that much anymore, and people are viewing your profile on their phone. What's going to jump out to them are the images, are the videos. Again, I use the example of the About Me video. I would challenge anyone here to do the same. Incredibly powerful. Now that I've learned through that coaching and many others, film it horizontally, but put it on YouTube and then cross-link it to LinkedIn, because the analytics on YouTube are much more powerful than the analytics that LinkedIn offers you in terms of viewership, in terms of comments, and in terms of understanding your demographics. But this is a great way for someone, as a hiring manager myself, to get to know a candidate without even picking up the phone and having a conversation yet. The fourth most viewed area of your profile is actually pretty surprising. It is your endorsements. So all the way down at the bottom, these are not your recommendations. These are the quick little things that someone, it will say, does Amanda know about marketing? Yes, no, ignore. And people very much discount these because A, it's very easy to go ahead and click yes or no, but B, we kind of don't understand what's the purpose of this. What is it adding? What it's adding is an incredibly powerful search component to your profile, meaning that if you have over, you know, say you have 100 or so endorsements, or maybe even 50, or maybe even 10, you are very likely to pop up as a profile when someone types in that particular key term. So as an example, I have demand generation, but I also have social media marketing. I have booked 90% of my speaking gigs through LinkedIn from people Googling or searching within that bar, social media marketing speaker, or even on Google, because this traverses to the social engine as well, the search engine as well. If they search for that exact term, my profile will come up in the hits. What opportunities could you be driving for yourself if you curated this set of endorsements? And I'll show you how. It's very, very easy, but people don't realize that you can actually change it. So first off, you will only see 3 endorsements out of, you can have up to 30. But most people are not going to click the show more. So instead, we should make sure that those 3 that are shown are part of that list of keywords that we worked on. It should be your top 3 that you want to be known for. To add a new skill, again, I would start with the role that you are hired for, and it will say skills required, and it will even suggest to you skills based on your profile that you should add. As you start typing, for example, marketing, it will pop up a bunch of different offerings. Again, do your research and get the hardest hitting skills that you're looking for added here. From here, I'll show you how to choose which 3 display. So these are pinned. Say I want to move into a product marketing role. I would go ahead and unpin one of these. Let's unpin strategy. And I would repin product marketing. Maybe I want to move it all the way up to the top. And you just drag and drop. And when you do this, all of a sudden you are able to be endorsed for these skills and you will show up in people's news feeds as being asking them, does Amanda know about product marketing? Yes or no? So it's a kind of driving cycle. It's a snowball effect. And also as you endorse others for their skills, LinkedIn will start to serve you up to those people and others as well. It's kind of a cycle of reciprocity. So curate this. And again, there's no harm in having up to 30 skills. That's totally fine. It doesn't penalize you, such as Instagram with too many hashtags. Let me hit, let's see, discard. Okay. And so going on your profile, maybe again, this is a pretty short-term item, doesn't take a lot of work. So maybe this is the one that you want to do next week. Pull up your profile, understand what is displaying. Look at other people's profiles. What are they showing as their top skills? People you admire, people that are thought leaders in your industry. The final most viewed area of your profile are those long form recommendations. What I would aim for is to have at least one recommendation per each and every role that you display on LinkedIn. And that might seem like a lot, and it might seem like a lot to ask, but what it shows is a different flavor for each of the roles that you've had in the past. Even if you are a manager and you're promoted to a senior manager and you have the same boss, immediately you should ask that person to recommend you for that specific role. Because after a year of being a senior manager, it'll be tough to delineate what you did in one area versus what you did in your new role. When you ask for a recommendation, be extremely prescriptive. Tell the person what you want to be recommended for. Is it a certain project? Is it a certain set of results? Is it a certain attribute? Is there a certain keyword from your list that you would like them to leverage in that recommendation? If you are not happy with that recommendation, send it back to them. If there's a grammatical error, send it back to them. If there's something that maybe should just be cut out, send it back to them. 9 times out of 10, they will amend that recommendation so that you can be happy with it as well. When you're prescriptive with asking for these things, it makes it so much easier for the person to write the recommendation. I would also encourage you to be sure that you have written a recommendation for someone else. Because when, again, as a hiring manager, I learn a lot from reading the recommendations that you provide for someone else. I learn how you take a really complex concept, like a person, and extract value from that and communicate that. And that, for me, those are qualities I need in a skilled marketer. So be sure to have at least 1 to 3 people that you have recommended. It also, I think, shows generosity, especially if, you know, you happen to have some good recommendations, paying it forward. Of course, never recommend anyone that you wouldn't stamp your seal of approval on. I always get asked, well, how do you get out of that situation? I typically will say, you know, I don't feel comfortable recommending you at this point. Sometimes I'll say, we haven't worked together in a close enough capacity. The worst you can do is ignore it. I wouldn't recommend that strategy. I would just address it and own that. But at the end of the day, again, everything that we do online either adds or detracts to our brand. So while I do encourage you to go and recommend others, it is also reflective of you in that endorsement. Your face will literally be up there. The other thing, I have way too many recommendations. I think actually a lot of people do. You can archive these. And the beauty of that is they don't delete. Like when you get rid of a lot of things on your profile on LinkedIn, they do delete forever. As a best practice, I copy and paste everything into a Word doc before I start working on anything in my profile. I keep that as a running kind of engine because there might come a time that I actually want to grab what I wrote before and put that back onto my profile. Maybe I'm transitioning into something that I've done in the past. But with the recommendations, you can just archive them and you can curate them. You can choose which ones you're showing. So for example, right now I have one that's showing for my day job and one that's showing for my speaking career. So you can, again, if you're transitioning, you can play these to whatever strengths you're looking to go into next. It's a great way to subliminally start to position yourself as a thought leader in a certain area or skill set. So I want to be cognizant of time. We have about 5 minutes and you guys have not been Kanye-esque at all. So please, if you have a question, now is your time to ask it. Again, it could be on another social network. That's fine too. Anything related to personal branding and digital media. You can raise your hand or you can run up to this mic here. And don't be shy. Like I said, I've worked with so many different ranges and the questions are really not that dissimilar. Yes. Absolutely. Just to protect yourself. I mean, in that scenario, it was a smaller team, so it's a bit easier. But a lot, I mean, if you work for a large company and it's like, say, like a group a team outing, or a lot of companies will actually ask for employees to sign a disclosure ahead of time. Whenever you're using someone else's image, you have to have their permission to do so. So I just recommend that. And I would just be real and say, hey, team, like, I just went to a LinkedIn workshop and you guys are part of my brand and I want you to be part of my brand. Can we do a team photo outside or on, you know, this company's outing? Do you guys mind if I use this photo of you? I think if you have that sort of relationship enough that you want them as your profile, your cover photo, then it makes sense just to be forthright in it. But great question. Others? In the back? Yeah, that's a great question. So I'll show you how to shut that off. As a best practice, for most people, if especially after you come out of a session like this and you do have a lot of changes that you might want to make, I would shut off the notifications until your profile is in a place that you feel ready to show the world, basically. Because you will see a significant spike as soon as you turn that on, which is a great thing. I mean, if you have really done some good work and gotten it up to date, I think it's a powerful way to show people like, hey, I'm honing my brand and I'm actively growing it and I'm actively nurturing this. So under your picture, you're going to go into settings and privacy, and it's a bit of a pain, to be honest. It used to be much easier on your profile. There was like a toggle switch. Now they've kind of changed it, but I just bookmark this page typically so that I have it if I need to shut it off. And then let's see who can see profile. Right here, how others see your LinkedIn activity. So right here is... This also, by the way, I see a lot of people who like to view or creep on other people's LinkedIns and show up as anonymous. The downside to that is when you view someone's profile as anonymous, then you don't get to see who's viewed your profile. So for me, again, no shame in my game. I just keep it all public. I don't care if someone's viewed my profile. And I mean, if I viewed someone's profile and they see it, for me, that's just another opportunity to share a connection. So right here is how others see your LinkedIn activity. And you would just swap all of this to off right here. Choose whether your network is notified. So you hit change, and then there's the toggle switch. It's not super intuitive. I don't know why they changed it to over here. But again, what I do is I bookmark this page, and then I just keep it as I'm editing my profile. I make all my edits in a Word doc first, and I save it in there. And then I copy and paste it into my LinkedIn profile. I make sure that this is off. And then once it's in a place that I feel comfortable, it doesn't need to be perfect. No one's LinkedIn will ever be perfect. I go ahead and hit yes, and it will send out a notification. Others. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for better or worse, to anyone who could not hear, the question was, you know, I have a lot of extensive projects and milestones, and my LinkedIn is pretty meaty. Is that a good or a bad thing? Again, I tend to just be a bit kind of realistic, that people are viewing on their phone, they're scrolling, it's like the Tinder effect, you know, either they're going to stay for a second and read, or they're just going to swipe off. So what I would aim for is try to keep it brief. I would try to go for bullet points on each of your sections, 3 to 5 max. And they actually did some research. When the bullet point wraps to the next line, we stop reading. So ideally, try to keep it so succinct that it's ending, you know, right at that level. And I mean, you can always upload your actual resume as part of your rich media. And as your final bullet, you could say, for a more in-depth review of my work in this area, please download my attached CV. You know, there's always a way to do that. I think this is almost like a highlights reel of all of the best pieces and hook them enough so that they're like, all right, I want to check out a resume and I want to give her a phone call and I want to get to know this person. But that would be my recommendation. People tend to scroll. Numbers jump off the page. So if you have anything that you can tie to a numeric, whether it's a budget that you manage or results or the number of team members, instead of spelling out 4, you know, use the numeric 4 because that naturally jumps out to the eye. Yeah, right here.
Yes.
Oh, maybe it's not on.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
My question is, I have a blog that's really my creative outlet. Should I put that link on my LinkedIn profile, which is my professional day job?
I mean, it totally depends on what you're looking to achieve with that blog and with that professional profile. For me, it's very memorable to me when I see a little bit of a glimpse of what is that creative outlet for a person. And so my gut is, not that I know your blog, but my gut is saying, absolutely, get that on there. Now I have a deeper level of who you are and what you care about. My initial reaction would say, absolutely. You know, you could even say as your call to action at the bottom of the summary, one of my passions is, it's a gardening blog. I absolutely love gardening. I love to see something that I plant that grows into fruition. Maybe you relate that back to managing a team. Whatever. There's always some tie back. And then to learn more about what I'm doing, what I'm growing this season or something like that, check out my blog at X, Y, and Z. Then you have the link and then you add it as rich media too. And so I think, again, there's always going to be exceptions if it's something something that you don't think positively adds to your personal brand or adds value in a certain way, my guess is it does. But if it doesn't, then absolutely keep them separate. That's fine. But you can use LinkedIn as a very powerful way of driving up the traffic and subscribers of your blog as well. And again, you become so much more deeper to me as a connection because now I've got a glimpse of what you're really, truly passionate about. Awesome. Question over here. Yeah, it's a good question. So I have the premium account, but I was grandfathered into it. I have never paid for it, and I've used the non-premium account extensively. Everything that we covered today, vastly available through the regular account. Every single thing that we did, you can do here and now. The exceptions that I would say you get much deeper analysis on who's viewed your profile in terms of how long you can go back and the viewers that you can see and the trends that you can see, that can be very valuable. If there's been a lapse in time, maybe you come to the session, you implement a lot of these things, and you're still not seeing the results that you're interested in, do the pilot, the trial of premium. It's completely free, and then measure that. But what I would say to you is get your statistics with the free version first and note those down so that you can reference those and see, okay, what amount of uplift, and then you can weigh whether that value is enough for you or not. But absolutely go through and do everything that we did today first and get your like threshold, and then from there test out the premium and see, you know, does it actually affect me or not. The way I think about it is the value of LinkedIn is in their network, the amount of users that they have. So the more more features that they take away from the bread and butter user, the more people will, you know, not engage as much with this platform, and the value of the network goes down. So I have a feeling that they will continue to open up almost all of the features we didn't even cover. You can blog to LinkedIn. You can use it as a blogging platform for free. It is remarkable that we didn't cover groups. We didn't cover even the sales aspect of LinkedIn. So in general, I would say the free version is the way to go. So I've just got the stop notification. So thank you for that. I'm actually over, so I apologize. Thank you. Not your fault. I just talk too much. But you have all of my contact information. As I mentioned, my favorite thing to do is to come to companies like yours and teach your employees, whether it's 5 of you or 500 of you, how to do this and how to be part of an ambassador program for your brand. I teach on social selling as well. I teach on Instagram. I teach a whole class on Twitter, which is a lot of fun too. I hope you found this valuable. If you did, please tweet me. If you didn't, please tweet me. And thank you so much for coming. I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference.